My name is Carla Bellinger, and I'm the president of the First Friday Club of Greater Akron. Our topic for today is grace before meals, food for the body, mind, and soul. As we prepare, I'd ask you to silence your cell phones at this time so that we can hear today's program. After Father Leo's talk, we will have a question and answer session. On your table, and maybe best if you locate them now, are question cards. They're little white cards, and if you have a question as he's talking, be prepared, and there's also a pencil to write down whatever your question is. As we think about the year of the family and the Synod on the family, we have focused several of our sessions on family. Last month was on Father Schmiga and the family. So as we prepare for this talk, I would ask you to put yourselves in the presence of God and just close your eyes and think of the most beautiful thing that you've seen this week. And Lord, we thank you for the apple blossoms. We thank you for beautiful people, for smiling friends. We thank you for your goodness to us at all times. And so be with us today as we listen to Father Leo. Be with us as we leave here with our hearts inflamed by his message. And bless all of those making transitions in this time, whether it's graduation or First Communion. We ask your blessing on all families. And we ask this for Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Our board member, Deacon William Yoho of IHM Parish, will now come and introduce our speaker.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
I'm Deacon Will Yoho, and it truly is my pleasure to introduce today's speaker. But before I do, if you can indulge me for a minute, I'd like to say a quick prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Good and gracious God, we give you thanks and praise for blessing us with your servant, Father Leo Padalinga. We ask that you send your Holy Spirit down upon him, that you may speak through him into our lives. We ask that you may open our hearts and our minds, that we may hear you. And Father, we give you thanks and praise for this time of fellowship. We ask many blessings upon Father, and we ask traveling mercies for him as he travels home. We ask these things and all things through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the brothers and sisters said, amen. It truly is a great pleasure and joy to introduce Father. Father is a priest in the Secular Institute of the Consecrated Life, which is Voluntas Dei, which means the will of God. He is a man after my own heart. After all, I'm a deacon, the father of seven children, and the husband of a wife that is a great cook. So I truly appreciate all of his passions, faith, family, and food. Along with his priestly duties, Father Leo hosts an international movement, Grace Before Meals, an apostolate to strengthen the families and the relationships between God's gift of food. He's a best-selling author, a popular speaker, a host of an international show called Savoring Our Faith, and the co-host of a radio program called Entertaining Truth. Among Father's many, many accomplishments, maybe one of his most notable is the fact that he defeated Bobby Flay in a cooking competition. By the way, yeah, let's hear it for him. By the way, that YouTube video afterwards had about 2 million hits, so it was pretty popular. Father speaks on the importance of family mealtime, and he is right on the money. 60 years ago, the average dinner time was 90 minutes. It is now 12 minutes. According to the Pew Institute, in the last 20 years, the frequency of family time meals has been reduced by 33%. And there are great blessings to be had by a family mealtime. Kids and teens who share a dinner with their family 3 days per week or more are less likely to be overweight, eat more healthily, they perform better academically, and are less likely to engage in risky behaviors such as drugs, alcohol, and sexual activity. And they have a better relationship with their parents. But Father can speak much more eloquently than I, so without further ado, please give a warm First Friday welcome to Father.
Thank you, Deacon, and thank you, Doctor. I really appreciate that you are encouraging people to ask questions, because I'm going to start by telling you the definition of boring. Boring is answering a question that has never been asked. That's why teachers sometimes are just talking over our heads and we're like, shut up, because you don't know what they're talking about, because frankly, we're just unengaged. And that's why sometimes at Mass, people feel like they are not being fed. And you know why? Because they come already full of themselves. They have all the answers to all the questions, which is why there's no need for God or no need to learn about Him and no need to spend time with Him around something He desires so much that He even... Well, let's just put it this way. God has one desire, and that is to feed you. And we're going to talk a little bit today about a theology of food. And people will ask, what right do you have, priest, cooking in front of us when we just already ate? Number two, dude, you're not a chef, are you? Yes, I am. I am, actually. Prior to seminary, and even during seminary, I studied culinary arts. Because you know why? Honestly, I love it. You don't eat, you die. I don't know if that makes any sense, but it's the truth. Also, this was a great way to make friends. In fact, I think I only had friends because my mom cooked so well. And really, it was the easiest way to get a girlfriend. So guys, feed the women in your life, because if you do not, she's going to do an Eve on you. Why did Eve go to the demon, the devil, the serpent, who tempted her with food? Why? Well, maybe it's because he did not do a good job in satisfying her hungers. So I think one of the questions you need to ask yourself is, what am I hungry for in life? And all I'm going to be doing, folks, right now is, as I cook, I'm going to talk, because I am hyper, all right? And this gives me something to do, and frankly, let's just admit it, you just started paying attention, didn't you? And why? Because we have been fed so many things in life that we can't even focus on one thing. I mean, the deacon just basically gave my talk. Because all the statistics are there. We are being force-fed, overlooked. At one point, you know what news was? It was just some person reading in front of a camera. Now we've got like graphics, we've got sub-newslets, we've got little bullet points, we've got five people talking at the same time. It's literally becoming very difficult to discern. It's very difficult to find out what we're putting into our brains. Because we are being shoved so many things, and some of it might not be good for us. And so what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be cooking for all of you penne alla vodka. Got that right, brothers and sisters. This ain't no Baptist convention. We are going to be drinking, eating some food with vodka. And you know what? I have no trouble with my Baptist brothers and sisters having their dietary restrictions, but I'm going to tell you one other really piece of good news. First of all, it is a First Friday, which means technically you should not be eating meat. But it's the Easter season. Hallelujah. You can eat anything you want. All in moderation. And here's another really beautiful part about being Catholic. We have no dietary restrictions. Praise be Jesus, because I love bacon, okay? I love it
love it, love it.
But we do have dietary disciplines. We have dietary disciplines because if we don't discipline ourselves, then we are not disciples. The word discipline just simply means student. And a student is someone who is being fed. Just broke down that onion like a fruit ninja. No tears. It is a sign of my holiness, all right? No, it's actually a sign of the fact that I've got contact lenses on, and as I was talking, I didn't have my face buried in it, so all the fumes are going. I was actually looking away, and I was talking, so that kind of helps. And also, people are getting very nervous because I'm not looking at where I'm shopping. I'm a professional, people. Okay. No, and I also know where my fingers are in relation to this blade, which is why if I am careful and if I practice, guess what? I'm not going to get hurt. This is a theological instrument. You know what this is in the scriptures? The Word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword. Why do we seem to get hurt and hurt people with the Word of God? Well, I'll tell you why. We are amateurs at using this. You know what that means? We don't practice the Word of God. I didn't cut myself because I practice and I learn the techniques. You know, reading the Scripture isn't just reading the Scripture. It requires a technique, an understanding of who it is. And I'm always so surprised when my Baptist brothers and sisters, and you know, just even non-Catholic Christians, will just be like, but Father Leo, y'all Catholics don't read the Bible. Did you hear my southern accent and all of that? And I say, read it! We wrote it! That is our book! Saint Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. The reason why they say that and their critique is real. It's because we don't practice it. And when you do practice reading the Word of God, you're going to find something extremely impressive. You know what you're going to find? You are going to discover that God is the biggest foodie ever. He is. And I will do some food theology with you. Some of this is actually contained in a book called Epic Food Fight, A Bite-Sized History of Salvation. Because when we talk about saving grace, we sometimes feel like, gosh, we're going to get forced to have, we got to go to church again. I get it. Which is why what I'm trying to do is present the message in a way that is going to be distracting to you with 2 tablespoons of olive oil, perfectly measured. And I'm going to share with you how God wants to feed you. Again, from the moment He created anything. People all know about the theology of the body, right? You do know about that, right? I got some news for you. Before He made the body, He made food. And He created in the body hunger. We call that appetite. And sometimes, because we are so weak, we hunger and we have an appetite for bad things that can harm us, which is what the devil did. The devil took forbidden fruit and got Eve to eat it simply by dunking it in chocolates. And then Adam, what did he eat? What did he eat? Well, we know what he ate, and he ate it. And you know why? This is what the devil did. The devil simply took that forbidden fruit and wrapped it in bacon and then dumped it in Viagra-infused barbecue sauce with a cold beer. And now you're all thinking, did that breach your sin? Yes, I did. And here's why. It's not a bad word. Well, why did we just get all nervous about that for a second? And I don't want to be insensitive, but the reality is everyone else seems to be able to talk about it, right? You can't, I mean, with the exception of last year's Super Bowl's commercials, which were awesome this year, in the past you couldn't watch sports or even news without commercials of these things coming at you. And so this message is being put out there, and families, let me ask you something. If you don't talk with your children about these things, which they are hearing, and it's put on the back burner of their brain. See that food reference back there? They are being fed. How are they going to understand what it all means? Everyone else can talk about it, but somehow we can only talk about it within the realm of biology. What it does for man. And it's a theological fight.
Adam ate it so that he can be omnipotent. Guys eat it so that they can be omnipotent.
But if the last one of the 6 hours makes it a supposition. You see, people are eating this message. How are we digesting it? The reality is, the reason why I'm talking about it is because it's food. You put it in you, you digest it, it becomes a part of you. And for our sisters out there, I joked with you a little bit. Reality is, there's a bite-sized food for you too that makes you so potent that basically says, God, when I take this, I will tell you when I want to have a baby. You see, we're all being challenged. What are we putting into us? We have to start recognizing food is theological and not just biological. What does God want to feed you? Well, he wants to feed you the best, which is why he promised the people, even though they completely totally screwed up a lot, a land flowing with... But before they can get to this land flowing with milk and honey, they have to fast and desert for how long?
40 days.
No, not 40 days, that's us, 40 years! And we complain about the 1 hour fast before communion? And people will all ask, fathers, you know what they'll say. When you say an hour before receiving communion, is it at the hour the Mass starts or at the point of receiving communion? So you know what I did? I did the math, because I'm Asian, I'm really good at it. And I realized that if we just simply waited the hour prior to receiving communion, we would have to fast for 15 minutes! Do you mean to tell me that we cannot be hungry for 15 minutes? Which is a real problem. And that's why St. Paul was right when he wrote that letter to the Filipinos. You know what he said? Our bellies have become our gods. Our bellies have become our gods. We don't know what it's like to be hungry in this world, which is why we have little compassion for people who are hungry. And that's why when you go to third world countries where people are hungry, they have more compassion in a way, giving even the little they have to those with even less. We need to be compassionate by willing to experience hunger. But we don't even encourage it, which is why on Mondays, you know what we got to do? Clean the churches up from Cheerios. Because that's how we quiet children, right? As soon as they cry, shove food down their throat. Shove it down their throat. Get them quiet. And you know what will happen eventually? Every time we cry, whine, we will get what we want and we will be satisfied. Because we have bought into the fast food mentality. So, hear that sound? Hear that sound, that sizzle? It's a great sound. It means if the pan is hot enough, it means if the oil is hot enough, it means basically we're gonna get a nice sear on these things, pull out the sugars. It's my favorite sound, second only to when the priest or deacon says, Mass is ended, go in peace, right? I mean, it's like, because basically what he's saying is, you've got the food in you, go out there and do good things. Adding the garlic to this now, I'm going to mince up some parsley while we're talking and get you to really understand that what we put into us really matters. You've heard mom and dad say, you are what you eat. Well, if that's the case, then the Eucharist has to take on a lot more importance in our life. And we cannot treat church, God's meal, the Eucharist, Sunday, like fast food. And folks, do not think I'm on a crusade against fast food, because I love fast food. And my favorite is Kentucky Fried Chicken. Go ahead, you can judge me. But I honestly firmly believe that the Colonel will one day be beatified as saint, okay? It's inspiration from God to combine 11 herbs and spices like that, people. All right. He does want to feed you, and it's not a fast food mentality. And again, I have no issue with the fast food. I have a problem with the mentality that simply says, I'm too busy. Too busy for what? Too busy to be with my family? Oh my gosh, are you kidding me? I'm going to give you another statistic. Besides the CASA research that the deacon mentioned, which is the Center of Addictions and Substance Abuse at Columbia University, they came up with that study that said if you want to reduce drug addiction, teen pregnancy, teen suicide, plus improve your teenagers' SAT scores, the number one factor in all of that is a regular family meal. And you ask why? Well, maybe we could go to the MTV survey, along with Associated Press, which asked over 2,000 kids, what makes you happiest? You know what they said overwhelmingly? Spending time with my family. And you're thinking, who the heck are these kids, right? No, but it makes perfect sense. Adding some of the parsley to this mix, letting it saute out. By the way, can you smell that? Can you smell this? Does it smell pretty good? This is what I want to use for incense at church, okay? Because if people knew we were cooking up something good, they would come, would they not? But they oftentimes think that we're just serving leftovers or we're just trying to shove faith down people's throats, which is why when I do talks on homilies and the way we present our message, there's always an element of food because Jesus used that element of food quite a bit. Here's why that research makes a lot of sense. Because if a teenager has a good relationship with his or her mom and dad, you know what's going to happen? Mom and dad are going to trust that kid with the car. Be happy to give them a couple extra bucks for allowance. You see, what it's doing is saying, if you have communion with your family, then guess what? You have peace. You have joy. You have love in your family. And there's one thing the devil wants to do, and that's destroy communion. Which is why I work so hard to try to bring families back to the dinner table as soon as I can get out of here. So here's what I did. I had to open up both sides because I just get a little tired of, washing it all out. This is L'Adobio Concentrato di Pomodoro, also known as tomato paste, okay? As we make this vodka sauce, you're going to see that this dish is actually pretty simple to cook. I could probably finish this in a half an hour, no doubt, but I'm just talking. I think I could take Rachel Ray in a 30-minute throwdown, to be honest with you. But I'd never do it because she scares me. So what I'm doing is I know that when you cook with this, their paste takes a long time to cook out because it's concentrated tomato flavor. And what I'm going to do to help speed this along is I just simply spread it out over the entire pan. I don't know if you can see this, but it kind of looks like Christmas gone bad, right? Don't worry. We are going to have some fun with it as we talk about a good relationship with mom and dad. Because if a kid has a good relationship with mom and dad, you know what's going to happen? They're even going to be able to share a moment and even a drink together. Before the age of 21. I'm not quite sure why 21 is the age to say a kid can drink. Because that doesn't mean they're mature. I know people who are 50 who shouldn't be drinking. And in some countries where alcohol is not a forbidden or forbidden thing, it became that way because there was religious extremism that said it's a sin. It's not a sin. Alcohol is a gift from God, which is why I lead retreats in Napa Valley. Live a very difficult life. But I do it because I want to teach people that all food is good. It comes from God. It's do we abuse it? Do we understand it? Are we able to eat food with a theological purpose and not just a biological purpose? Which is why we must now deglaze this pan with Russian holy water. Also known as vodka. Be careful when you cook with alcohol, especially strong spirits, because if exposed to a flame, it will combust. It'll blow up, which is why we're only going to use a little. Just as much as Jesus made in the wedding feast of Cana, all right? And we can just cook it out like this, mix it all around, or we could carefully expose it to a flame, and it will catch on fire. And people always ask, dude, why are you doing that? And the answer is, because this is cool, all right? And also, I am a guy. Fire. And it's also letting me know when the harshness of the alcohol is getting cooked out. No one is getting drunk here. And why? Because we're knowing what this gift is, and we're not going to abuse it. Because we are talking about it. That's what's missing. We're not talking anymore. We don't have a forum to speak with each other anymore. Which is why I'm promoting the family dinner almost the way God is asking us to keep the commandment of keeping holy the Sabbath day. Because in a Sabbath day, what happens? We talk with each other. God talks to us through His Word. We talk back to Him with our responses and our prayers and our petitions. Adding tomato sauce, lowering the heat down a little bit. Then I'm going to season this with some kosher salt because I'm very ecumenical. And then we are also going to hit it with some pepper. And some chili pepper. If I was going to be mean to you, I would have added the chili peppers to the hot oil because that's what makes it super hot. Now what we're doing is we're just getting the essence of the flavor itself. All right? We don't talk with each other, which is why I say dinner is the place for the conversation to occur. Because guess what happens? When your food is good, you cannot talk with the mouth full. That's why I say, please, present the message well. Present the message in a way that's going to be digestible. That's why I do what I do. Can I ask you, who's got the timing right now? Yeah, can you tell me how much time I got? What's that? 30 minutes, and that includes the questions, right? No? My gosh, we're almost done with this thing. But that's all right, because when we actually have an opportunity to talk with each other, something powerful happens. Conversion. Conversation, listen to the word, conversation leads to conversion. So turning into each other. What we're experiencing right now is diversions, distractions. We are diverted from our conversations, which leads to divorce. We are so busy, wrapped up in our own world. We are so distracted, we cannot focus. Which is why doing a meal with each other, although with sacrifice, is a liturgical act. The word liturgy simply means work. So when parents say, it's a lot of work, like, you better believe it. Do you think raising a saint is easy? It's liturgy. That's what we do at Mass. It's called a liturgy. It's work. You know what that work is? Me trying to feed you. And you know what that requires me to do? Find out what you're hungering for. But the big struggle is that people, again, come to church unwilling to ask questions. They're just wanting to question authority. And I get it. But they're kind of the same. Questioning authority is just less humble than questing the author. And when you come to church and we ask God to be in our life, we're basically asking Him to satisfy our hungers. Adding a little bit of parsley here. And now what I'm going to do is I am going to add some heavy whipping cream, as I think this should be seasoned enough. It's good. And I'm going to add now to this some heavy whipping cream. Again, don't touch me. And I'm only adding a little, just to get this to that beautiful orangey consistency. I'm going to keep this on super low heat. I'm eventually going to add the cock pasta, which was already pre-cooked. You know what we need to do as a church, though? Besides you coming hungry, I've got to learn how to present the Christian message better. Let's admit it. Let's admit one thing. Sometimes we're boring. And why are we boring? Because we're feeding you stuff that you don't have any hungers for. In part because you're not really asking me questions. In part because I need to be also a chef and not just a priest. Because a chef is able to do something. Understand not only what you're hungering for, but balancing the season so that I'm not just giving you spice all the time, but I'm also giving you a little bit of the sweetness of consolation, as well as a little bitter herbs of truth, and also a little bit of sourness to open up your taste buds. Those food analogies are certainly corny, but they're the ones that Jesus uses. You see, His first miracle was the wedding feast of Cana. What was the second miracle? Feeding who? 5,000 men, not counting women and children. And everyone thinks, the Bible fed them. No, the Bible's not sexist. That was the way the Bibles counted households. Because you know why, fellas? It was your job, not for a wife to slave over a hot stove, your job to feed the family. Not just physically, but also spiritually. Who was it that brought their families out there in the desert for 3 days to listen to a prophet? That would be the father, the spiritual head of the household. There are so many struggles, though, in our church that we leave the religion up to just the women, and therefore we have an imbalanced diet. And the reason why is maybe because Jesus did a great job at presenting. He knew how to plate. He knew exactly how to make a difficult message digestible. Adding a little bit of the pasta. Now this is just a little bit of pasta because I used some of this for a special dinner already. But this will be fine. And I mean, I'm going to give you all, at least some of you all, a little chance to taste test this. When we talk about our Catholic faith, we have to present it in a way that makes people excited. When people think we are boring, I say we aren't boring. If it weren't for our feast days, our economy would tank. Think about it. Christmas gifts. That would be our Saint Nicholas. Chocolate, wine, roses. Those spike in the market during St. Valentine's Day. Bishop and martyr, a true lover. Who would even buy food color dye? If it weren't for that creepy rabbit that legs eggs. I mean, folks, think about this. Corned beef cabbage, green beer. I don't care who you are. Everyone on that day is Irish. Even I'm Irish. And I changed my name on that day to Father Lee. Ooh, Pataling Hug, okay? Because we gotta bring back our feast days, do we not? That's what makes the world go round and allow our non-Catholic, non-Christian brothers and sisters to celebrate their feast days as well. And you know what? Really good news? We can actually eat their holy foods. Isn't that beautiful? To know that we as a Catholic Church, which means universal, we really are one family. And what we've got to do is present our message in a way that makes people hunger for more. Which is why the work that I do with the new evangelization. Can I get a presentation plate, by the way? Someone just grab me a plate because I'm going to present this out. Our presentation in the new media, our presentation in secular media, is one of the reasons why I was so surprised that even the Food Network, you know, got in touch with me. After I wrote my first book, bestseller, I'm just saying. I was surprised. I was so surprised that people would even care that a priest eats. People, have you seen us? We love food. And you know why? Because we, as priests, thank you so much, Mike, are given the best food, and it's up to us to feed that to you. And if we have eaten well of the graciousness of God, then guess what? So will you. You know, people are always so surprised. I remember I was in the mall one day. At a grocery store connected to a mall. And some woman said to me, Father Leo, what are you doing in the grocery store? And so I don't know if you can tell, I'm a little kind of edgy at times. I said, finding a date for the prom. That's what I said. And she goes, oh, did you find one yet? We eat. And I've also discovered this too. And the deacon mentioned the statistic. If we know how to dine, not just feed our faces, dine, then we know how to live. We need to be like St. Paul, who can eat with the rich and the poor. I love Chateaubriand just as much as I love chicken nuggets. I don't know what part of the chicken they come from, but I love them. And back to that feeding of the 5,000. Who was the hero in that story? It was a little boy in John's Gospel. About, I don't know, I mean, you're not a little boy, but you're young. How old are you? 16? Okay, well, he was younger. But if you were younger and you had 5 fish sandwiches, and there were 5,000 men here, not counting women and children, would you share? Don't answer. When I was a kid, you know, your age, and my, we, at one point, McDonald's only had 6-piece chicken nuggets. Now the smallest, 10. Think about that. My brother would wait until I ate 5 nuggets. And then he would say, "Hey, Leo, are you going to eat that last nugget?" And I would say, "You mean this piece?" And if you laugh, it's only because you did it too, right? How am I a priest? I'll tell you how. Because when God gives, He gives the best. And you know what I hunger for, which I receive in abundance because I ask Him for it every Mass? Is mercy. It's the only reason why I can stay a priest is because He has mercy on me. And the only reason why He gives it to me is because I hunger for it. Just like the prodigal son. Why did he even come back home? He came home because he was like a college kid. He was hungry and needed to do his laundry, okay? And the only way that he was going to be able to eat is if he said, "I'm sorry." And you know what he did? He actually went through an examination of conscience. He prepared his examination and his confession the way we would do before we go to communion, which is still part of our church's teaching. Confess before you eat. And why? Because if you are so full of yourself and your sins, you aren't going to understand the grace that God is trying to fill you with, because we're already full of it. We are full of it. This gives us a chance to experience humility through God's generosity, because He's not cheap and He does give the best. And so these are the simple messages that I try to present. And I was really surprised when the Food Network even wanted to talk with me about this. I'm just going to let you know a little bit of my crazy life right now. I just literally flew in from Texas yesterday morning. I had a meeting with my religious institute in Baltimore, so I had to stay. I drove because they canceled my flight. I was going to come in today, but I couldn't, so I had to drive. At 10 o'clock last night, I landed in Pittsburgh around 2 o'clock in the morning. I woke up at 6 to get on the road at 7:30 to cook for you all and to speak with you. And you're thinking, "You're just a sicko." I might be, but I got to be like St. Paul. He went everywhere, did he not? Just to feed people. And you know what he did? He also ate with them. Ate with them. And when the Food Network wanted to talk about gracebeforemeals.com and to learn a little bit more about the apostolate of the dinner table thing, I was really surprised when it turned out to be a surprise cooking competition with the Iron Chef, Bobby Flay, and his hit show, Throwdown. Do you all remember that show? He would go and he would challenge chefs of notoriety, and he would cook their signature dish. I told him, "I don't have a signature dish. Granted, I studied the culinary arts in Italy, and I watch a lot of Food Network, and I practice for my brother priests because they're very honest in their critique. But I don't have a dish that I'm famous for." And I told him, "I'm not famous for anything." And he said, "You are now." Awkward! It was so awkward because I was just doing what I do. I do this around the country, around the world. And it was a crowd just like this, but they weren't. They were standing. And Bobby broke through the crowd, and I immediately recognized who he is. I mean, he's a world-famous chef. And I knew what was going to happen. So my first words were, "Holy shiitake mushrooms." That's what I said. And they edited it because not it was bad, but because the camera guys were laughing so hard, they couldn't get a good visual on it. And he said, "I challenge you to a steak fajita throwdown." And I said, "You know what, Bobby? With God as my witness, I am not afraid of you bringing." That's what I said. And I almost heard the Blessed Mother say, "You're an idiot. He's a chef. He's a world-famous chef. And I know how to cook, and I cook for my show every Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern on EWTN. But that's about it, right? He challenged me. I did the throwdown, and I got to tell you something. It's a serious competition. All of the Food Network shows are serious competition. They tell you to banter back and forth, but that's only because they want it to be fun. He had 3 professional chefs helping him. I had a priest wearing a do-rag helping me. That's all I had. And so what they did was they brought out plate A, which was mine, and then plate B, which was Bobby's. And they brought out the chefs. They didn't chef judge. They didn't know whose was whose. They brought out A, which was mine, and they tasted A, and they said that it was amazing. I'm just saying what they said about A. And then they ate Bobby's, which was B, and they said it was good. But it was awesome because he's like the super iron chef. How did I beat him? A little parsley at the end. Well, I'll tell you. During the judging, I whipped out my rosary. And I just started to pray. A couple good Catholics in the crowd prayed. Priest pulled out his rosary to pray. I think there was a Muslim guy pulled out his beads. And he's like, la, 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 la. And you know what? I will take that prayer. Because if there is one God and that God wants to feed us, then it's the right God. But if that God says, put a bomb on you and blow people up in my name, then I got to tell you something. The devil is still out there feeding lies. And people are eating it up. Because if this God wants to feed us, it's the true God. Do you want to feed people? Then you've met him. You know him. You love him. But the reason why I won is because my mother was there. That woman had two rosaries. And she was double-fisted it. And she was like, dude, you brought out the beads. I'm done for it. And I'm like, yep. Because you know, in a real battle between life and death, and eating is a matter of life and death. You know the most ferocious animal is in the animal kingdom, right? And that would be a mother. And you know what our mother church wants to do? Feed you with the remedy of that which we bit in the forbidden fruit. A little bit of olive oil. The Italians always call it confirmation. We've all bitten of the forbidden fruit. The only thing that can cure us is one bite of the blessed fruit that hangs from the tree of life. Are you hungry? Well, if not, let's start with feeding you this. Because hopefully I was able to touch your hearts and minds by going through your stomachs. Is there anyone who has a birthday? You do? Are you gluten alert, allergy? Can you come on up here and bring your fork? Because you get a chance to taste this young lady. What's your name?
Caitlin.
Caitlin, come around here. Caitlin, give that a try. Happy birthday blessings to you and for the food. Tell me what you think.
Honestly.
No, I'm going to lie to a priest, okay?
Because you used the pasta, which was your prior work, you know, person, you just kind of like, you bring the Eucharist.
Well, hold on a second, we're getting theological here, hold on.
Because you used the pasta over again, kind of like when the priest at daily mass will bring out extra communion, which was the prior work of the people. It's not al dente.
It's not al dente.
No.
I didn't make the pasta.
The sauce.
The sauce. Go for the sauce.
The sauce is very good.
Yay! I won a convert, and now that's for you. Happy birthday to you. Can I tell you the reason why I want to call you up here? It's because you and your birthday is all about what I do. Does anyone here have a belly button? Okay, good. We have a couple humans. I didn't want to see it, people. I just asked if you had. Do you know what this is? This is an indelible mark. It says that from the moment you were conceived in your mother's womb, where life begins, no matter what the Supreme Court tells us, God had one plan. To feed you. If we become more like God's children, we will always be hungry. Thank you all, and God bless you, and I hope you enjoy this little presentation. And now, you have questions to prove you're not boring.
Thank you, Father Leo. We're going to give them a moment to think about their questions. So take your question cards out, and we have some time, but in the meantime, we have a station identification break. Our first Friday Club luncheon next month will be on June 5th. Our speaker will be Dr. Susan McGurgan, who has a doctorate of ministry in preaching. Susan is an excellent speaker. I personally recommend her as a personal friend. She is the director of Lay Pastoral Ministry Program, and she teaches homiletics, which is preaching, at the Athenaeum of Ohio and Mount St. Mary's Seminary in Cincinnati. Her title She has two, actually, our official one and the one she gave me in case we wanted to use it. Our official title is Fostering Hope When the World Feels Hopeless. But she also gave me a creative one from, I think it was Emily Dickinson, The Thing with Feathers. Which seemed, apparently, if you've read Emily Dickinson, anybody an Emily Dickinson person? Okay, well, there's a poem about The Thing with Feathers, and it's all about hope. So I invite you back on June the 5th to hear Susan McGurry. If you'd like to make a reservation for the First Friday Club, you can send a check for $15 to the First Friday Club. The address is on our website. On the website, there's also a place where you can email in your reservation and pay when you get here. Please make your reservation by Tuesday of the Friday luncheon. And if you know someone who missed this presentation or any of the previous presentations, you can hear Father Leo on our podcasts, which are on our website. And please recommend it to a friend. Again, we have registration cards. If you didn't get one earlier and you want to sign up for our email and to know what's coming up or any changes, please raise your hand and we still have some registration cards. And if you have your questions ready, you can raise your hand and hold those up for the people coming around. I'd like to recognize any first-time attendees. Is anyone here for the very first time? Would you all stand up who are here for the first time and let's give them a big hand. We also have students from Archbishop Hoban High School, Our Lady of the Elms, St. Vincent St. Mary High School, and Walsh Jesuit. But our students, you're getting the exercise in your knees. Would you all stand up? We also have some graduates, some people who are graduating. Just raise your hand if you're graduating. I would like to recognize one of our newest board member, Jackie Vigno, just got her master's degree in theology last Saturday. Jackie, you want to stand up and take a bow? I would also like to thank our VIP patrons who had a meal earlier, and to eat the meal, they also supported our program today. So for their donation and for their help in making this possible, let's give our VIP people a round. I also have one advertisement. Catholic Charities Community Services of Summit County will have their 20th annual golf outing Friday, June 12th. And all proceeds benefit Catholic Charities programs for people with developmental disabilities in Summit County. The table outside has information about that golf outing. And also Father Leo's books will be for sale. He has agreed to sign them in the back. So, board members or anyone else, any other announcements, station identification, things that I need to be aware of? All right. Very good. I would also like to give one really vigorous round of applause for Mike Herholm, who set all this up. Would you give Mike a big hand? This was a major undertaking, and he did a nice job. All right, Mike and Father Leo.
Father, do you create the CRS rice bowl recipes?
No, thank you for that. That's referencing the Catholic Relief Services Rice Bowl. It used to be known as Operation Rice Bowl, right? It's now just called the Rice Bowl Program. And they recruited me 3 years ago to cook one dish. And it grew in popularity that last year we filmed. And because they were celebrating their 40th anniversary, we did another whole season. You can go to CRS Rice Bowl and download that and watch me cook their recipes, which was actually just inspired by the countries that receive the donations. So we're cooking with Americanized ingredients to give people a chance to taste a little bit of what they eat in, you know, in Nigeria, Burkina Faso. I can't even remember all the countries where we go. So I don't make them, I just cook them. If I were to make them, I would definitely add some bacon to it. No, I'm kidding with you. I do try to be as authentic, and I have to learn about the recipes, but not those.
I'm a college campus minister who started an international meal ministry with students. Do you have any insights into helping college students make the link from the dinner table to the Eucharistic table?
Well, I think you just have to say it. I mean, there are just some things that are very explicit about our faith, which is why when I was very explicit with you, you probably were thinking, okay, I get it. That's what we're doing here. And so I'm just making those links, but I'm not shoving it down their throat. And as a matter of fact, to really help college students, get people who aren't of that nationality or that ethnicity to cook it, because they are the people who are teaching them how to do it. And I just think that interactivity is the real grace before meals, because grace before meals is in a 5 second, and it's only 5 seconds. Bless us, O Lord, and these I guess which you're about to receive from thy bounty through Christ our Lord. Amen. Grace, by definition, is an action of the Holy Spirit to bring people together. Get their ethnicity to teach non-ethnics how to make that food. You will see gracebeforemeals.com live.
Some ideas on how parishes can better develop and evangelize to make young people hungry for the Word and for the Eucharist.
Okay, three things. And it's got to be with the philosophy: body, mind, and soul. Feed them good food. I get it, Chick-fil-A, I love it. Especially on Sundays when they're closed, right? But they're really good at giving out free food. Just reach out to them. I know that there are a lot of good Catholic owners of restaurants. Get them to give good food. Good food. They will come for that. Mind. Find out what they're hungering for and feed them in bite-sized portions. Soul. Get them to do things that are going to be service-oriented, where they're actually feeding other people. And then also, I firmly believe that Eucharistic adoration, just sitting in front of the Blessed Sacrament, is like watching a Food Network show. You watch it, you get hungry. Because it doesn't belong in the monstrance, it belongs in us. But teaching people how to pray in front of the Eucharist with good music, good preaching, a healthy, holy, spiritual environment, that's going to get them hungry for more.
I got a whole group of questions here. Who is the better cook, you or your mom?
My mom is a fantastic cook. I've got a little bit more technique than she does because of just the training, but she would definitely win hands down. Just a quick story on mom. I studied in Italy, and I called my mom one day, and I'm like, Mom, I just had Mass with the Pope. And she's like, oh, really? I just had Mass with Jesus. She would win because she's wiser.
What inspired you to cook and preach?
What inspired me to cook was that I was hungry. What inspired me to preach was that because I was hungry. I actually remember sitting in the pews and thinking, I'm going to just commit suicide if this guy just keeps going on and on and on and on and on. I mean, we've all felt what it's like to be nailed to the wood of the pew, haven't we? Well, guess what? Priests know what it's like to be nailed to the wood of the pulpit. We're talking and trying to give, but people are like, boring. We all need to work together on homilies. And the reason why I'm trying to be as engaging as possible is because I don't want to be boring. Because God ain't boring.
What is one dish you love cooking the most?
The one dish is really, it's one style. I'll go into your home and I'll find out what you have, and I want to turn it into something and be like, whoa, that's awesome. I never thought that I'd use cornflakes for Kentucky, you know, for chicken batter. That's the kind of stuff that I love to do, is just transform ingredients the way God can transform a sinner into a saint.
What and who is your inspiration for cooking?
Okay, for the inspiration for cooking, honestly, Bobby Flay, he's really quite awesome. He was a very nice guy, and he was serious as a chef. And then there were a couple times when I had seen him at other food festivals, and he saw me in a crowd and goes, "Hey, Father Leo, get up here." He pulled me up to the stage and pulled me off to the side, and he said, "I am so sick of people asking me about you." It was really great. And we're not like besties or anything like that, but I know he would recognize me. And what I have found in him was, as he is on TV, is how he is in real life. He's just super authentic.
What can we do to feed someone who has turned away from the church?
Oh, good. The reason why people turn away from the church is why you got to ask them, you know, why did you leave the church? They felt overfed. They felt underfed. They felt that they were force-fed. They felt they were eating leftover homilies. So I think what we have to do is just begin by asking them, what are you hungering for? And then just take it from there. And real quick for my plugs, I've got my three books. One has got family recipes. One is called Spicing Up Married Life. And people always ask, well, what priest do you know about marriage? I know enough. I didn't want to get married, okay? But I also know theology of marriage. And I'm trying to get rid of anniversaries because I think they're silly. I'm trying to encourage monthversaries, monthly dinner dates, so that you can really enter into loving conversation. And the third book is Epic Food Fight, A Bite-Sized History of Salvation. And then please, especially the young ones, follow me on Twitter. I'll follow you back if you tell me to, but if you don't, I won't follow you because that's just creepy. Alright? So follow me, and if you want me to, I'll follow you back. Just let me know. Facebook and Grace Before Meals for free information and website and all of that kind of resources to bring this all together. Now, I'll be honest with you. I'm a little goofy when I'm up here cooking because I see a mixed crowd. But depending on the audience, you got to see, I've got to pepper it with some seriousness, with some silliness, but always with something substantial and presented in a way that hopefully you see, I'm just being sincere. I just want to feed you. Because that's the way I imitate the Father's love. Who fed us with what? The bread of life and the cup of eternal salvation. And so with that, I just say, with the chalice lifted, cheers. And may you experience the blessing of Almighty God with grace after meals, which is called doing the dishes. Can I also do one more thing too? Can I thank all of the servants who helped? They sometimes go unknown. They're not around here, but just in our hearts and minds, let's pray for those who served us. Oh, can I have more questions?
Our final question.
Oh, okay. I thought I was done.
Well, I did have one, but I'm running out of time for both. The one was kind of in a liberal sense. How could I learn to chop an onion like that?
How did I learn to practice? Yep.
Your final question. What meal would you cook for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ?
I would serve him. People have asked me this before. I would serve him my sins. Because that's what he's asking for. Give me everything, man. I hunger for you. No matter how pathetic and sinful you think you might be, you're the very person I want to consume. Because in his consummation, he can transform a sinner into a saint. And that's what our Lord is hungering for.
Father Leo, thank you for that inspiration. And we are all feeling much more satiated and fed than we were an hour and a half ago. I would like to now introduce our board member, Diane Zvaznik, Director of Social Action for Summit County Catholic Charities, and she will lead us in our closing prayer.
Unless you think that I'm the one who created this prayer, I got it from the Catholic Relief Services Prayer Without Borders book. It is good to be alive. Oh God, we take time to pause from daily work, to gather our thoughts, to let our souls catch up with our bodies, to feel your presence in your creation, to ask forgiveness for our lapses, ours, and on behalf of your people, and to be ourselves restored. Breathing in, God's Spirit calms my body. Breathing out, it's good to be alive. Lord Jesus Christ, we take time to gather around you. By your life and teachings, may we find our strength, and journeying together, may we find our rest. Breathing in, Christ lives in our lives. Breathing out, it's good to be alive. Holy Spirit, creative energy of love and compassion, life embracing, life transforming, heal our bodies, heal our souls, heal our relationships, heal our nations. Breathing in, the Spirit heals. Breathing out, it's good to be alive. Amen.
Bon appetit. We hope to see you again in June. Thank you all for coming.
For those of you who do not want to hike back to the parking lot, the shuttle should be available right outside the doors to the right as you go out. We do have a shuttle running in this, so they should be there. If not, we will give them a call. But you can either make the hike back to the parking or you can catch the shuttle right outside the door.
I don't know if he was allowing a sewer.